good to be here. Just a word that if Kendall and I are among you, we won't preach two Sunday sermons every time. This is just a bonus. When we were in India, we were warned before we went that the churches in India don't like short sermons. They want a nice, meaty sermon or a longer message. So we preached together, and they said, "Oh, that was a banquet." So we hope that you are able to digest yet another sermon this morning. When I was a child and teenager, about to do something about which I felt some anxiety, perhaps perform a musical piece in a recital or make a presentation on a topic for a class at school, my mom would send me out with a phrase of affirmation. "Now, Charlene, remember who you are." In truth, this could have been amplified with, "Remember whose you are." But the answer to both was simple and known to me. I am a child of God. I'd been trained to answer that question that way. And to be honest, I carry that phrase with me wherever I go. Even today, slightly anxious about preaching for you in North Leamington this morning for the first time, I said to myself before arriving here, before coming up to the pulpit, "Remember who you are, remember whose you are." And in the quiet of my heart, I know I responded to myself, "I'm a beloved child of God, rooted and grounded in love." Today's psalm, number 139, is beloved by many. I believe it's because this psalm declares with such confidence that dual truth that we are known intimately and deeply by God, our Creator, and even as we are so deeply known, we are loved. "Lord, you have searched me and known me." That's verse 1. "You know when I sit down and when I rise up." Verse 2. "You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me." Verse 5. This last image reminds me of a mother tucking in her child and resting her hand briefly on her daughter's forehead before the night, as I do regularly with my daughter Matea on the bottom bunk. I rephrase it sometimes, "You tuck me in, God, behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me." Few passages in the Bible speak of God's closeness to human beings with such subtlety and strength as Psalm 139. This is an individual hymn of thanksgiving, which addresses God directly. Old Testament scholar Nancy DeClasse Walford, on her online commentary, she notes that this psalm reflects a profound I-thou relationship between believers and God in ancient Israel. She quotes Walter Brueggemann, who says, "The Psalms are addressed to a known, named, and identifiable you. This is not a stranger." And she directed me to a poem by Jewish theologian and poet Martin Buber, which feels to me like it's a poetic response to the experience of God's presence as described in Psalm 139. Here's his poem. "Where I wander, you. Where I ponder, you. Only you. You again, always you, 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 you. When I am gladdened, you. When I'm saddened, you. Only you, you again, always you, 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 you. Sky is you, earth is you. You above, you below, in every trend, at every end. Only you, you again, always you. You, you, you." Psalm 139, verse 7 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol or the dark places, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning or settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast." In our moments of greatest joy and greatest sorrow, God's presence will not leave us. Even in the darkest depths of depression, that hell of an emotional space, that Sheol, God is there. St. Augustine in the 5th century found links between this psalm and the parable of the prodigal son, who ran away from his father, taking his inheritance with him, and returned, having experienced disgrace, to discover a father with a warm and loving embrace waiting. When we try to run away, God will follow us. If we feel lost, God will find us. If we try to hide, we will be found. If we cannot find our way, we will be led. God in this psalm is named as creator, knower, weaver, knitter, searcher, finder, and abiding presence. This is the God who calls us and knows us. The psalmist reflects, "You knit me together in my mother's womb," verse 13. "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made," verse 14. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, secretly woven in the depths of the earth," verse 15. Now, I believe we all long to be known, deeply known. To be known is at the core of intimacy. An intimate belonging is a basic yearning for all human beings. But it comes with a risk. To be known, deeply known, is a vulnerable business. Anyone who knows us, who truly knows us, will see not only our smiles and successes, our shining moments, our skills and talents, they will also know our fears, our failures, our tears, and our moments of weakness. They will know our limitations and ineptitudes, our quirks and our quandaries. So perhaps we don't wish to be known, not that well anyway, so we put on our masks and our smiles and post our Pinterest-worthy pictures and hope to high heaven that no one sees past it. Or we don't put ourselves out there, we don't show up, and we don't allow ourselves to be seen by others, not even sometimes by our most intimate partners, our spouses, our children, our parents, our brothers and sisters, our best friends. But God knows, intimately, even better than we know ourselves, perhaps. Nothing we can learn about ourselves is news to God. The psalmist recognizes this. "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. How weighty are your thoughts, O God." But even in our darkness, our moments of anxiety, loneliness, depression, grief, or sorrow, in our unmapped seas or dark Sheol, God's presence, says the psalmist, guides and protects. Darkness is as light to God. God is not afraid of the dark. God is not afraid of our darkness. And while for some the thought that God lurks and works in dark places, in Sheol or the womb, might be burdensome, ultimately the psalmist recognizes that when the knower is God, that vulnerability is worth it. This Sunday, the lectionary texts point us to ponder call. Kendall preached on the call of Nathanael, whom Jesus saw and knew as he sat under the fig tree. Another choice we could have chosen today was the call of Samuel, who responded to God's call while he was still a child. And then there's this psalm, Psalm 139. "For as we are known and loved, so also we are called. Each of us, every one of us, has gifts that are created into our very bones, knitted and woven there by a God who loves us and knows us, as we are, with our weaknesses as well as our strengths, with our quirks and quandaries as well as our skills and talents. With all our limitations, our heights and our depths, God calls each of us to play our part in the mission of God in this world." Parker Palmer, a contemporary thinker, clarifies that vocation, or our life's work, what we feel led to do with our life's energy, vocation is not a goal that I pursue, but it's a calling that I hear. Discerning our vocation is challenging, largely because the voices from outside us are often much louder than the voices within. They point us in multitudes of directions, towards power or influence or money, or towards places of shame and guilt. But he writes, "Vocation truly does not come from a voice out there calling me to become something that I'm not. Vocation comes from a voice in here, calling me to be the person I was born to be, to fulfill the original selfhood given me at birth by God. God, who created us, who knit me together in my mother's womb, knows us and calls us as we are and who we are, in all our bold uniqueness." Parker Palmer cites a tale from the Talmud about a rabbi named Zusia. "Rabbi Zusia, when he was an old man, said, 'In the coming world, they will not ask me, why were you not Moses? They will ask me, why were you not Zeusia? Thus I am called by God to be Charlene. Kendall's called to be Kendall, Tobias to be Tobias, Matea to be Matea, Alicia Good is called to be Alicia, John Dick is to be John, Linda to be Linda, each called to be who we are created to be. And as you call me to ministry here at North Leamington, my calling is with my whole being, with all that I have and all that I am. I listen for God's call and seek to answer. And I do bring gifts into ministry, and I hope you're able to see them as you discern whether our gifts fit with the needs of North Leamington United Mennonite Church. I also come with limitations and weaknesses. I'll lose my keys. I will lose my notes. I will scramble times and places. I struggle sometimes with time and details. I don't make my best decisions under pressure. I might need a few reminders to stay on track with a project when something new and shiny catches my attention. This and much more is part of who I am. But God knows me and calls me as I am. Each of your lists of limitations and weaknesses will be different than mine, but no doubt you know it well. You bump into your failures and foibles every day. As we in God's church work together, we might see how my gifts offset your weakness, how my limitations call out your strengths, and vice versa. That's the marvelous nature of how God created each of us, with many gifts, but forming one body, the church. Truly, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are known by God, deeply loved, and called to serve God and God's people with our whole selves. And may we together pray with the psalmist at the very end of Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen.